got it. Here we go on a Monday. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Certainly do appreciate it. I see you there, Tom, and here you come in the door now.
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Afternoon. Diving in the news. Oh, wow. Hannah's going to come in a little later on, I think, right? We're going to get Hannah's going to come in and talk about the gunfire. Yeah, I think they call it gun violence. Right. This is a kooky, crazy story, Tom. Starting right off, by the way, you write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well at 98973. We do appreciate your participation, and you are a big part of the show. So here we go. The case of mistaken identity after a viral video leads to death threats. There's another part of the story, and Jacob is working feverishly to get the second part. Did you get that, Tom, or just did Jacob not send it to you?
Yes, I did see previous postings.
Yes, okay.
I don't know how much we want to give away, but let's deal with the story as we have it now.
Let's do the first part, right, because Dory had this guy on. So there's a guy who's at a bar, and he videotapes a customer confronting him, and according to the man videotaping, that this guy is accusing him of not paying for his drinks. And I think that's the that's basically the facts as told. That's it. You're going to imply a whole bunch of other stuff because the guy videotaping is black. The guy confronting him is white. This man that has the video puts up the video, and I think he has some people that follow him, and he basically says, you know, find out who this guy is. This is what happens. You dox people. So then the doxing process begins, and then at that point, it becomes a hunt to find the man. And the people that do this sort of thing, they thought they found the guy, right, Tom?
Yes. So this guy posts this offensive video, he claims, that this guy is giving him a hard time. Now, did you get a chance to? I couldn't get the video to play, so I don't know what it was. But anyway, everyone seemed to agree in social media land, this guy was terrible, he was racist, and everything else. Okay, that's the
first hold on a second before we establish racism, because that seems to be the biggest thing. Why was he racist?
The accusation. Well, the thing is, I haven't. Have you seen the video? I just saw a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what was said. All I know was that the reaction to what he posted was infuriating to so many social media consumers that once that person had been identified by two different people as being this one particular guy named Dean. Mm-hmm. They went after him and gave him and his business, a home improvement business, hundreds of one-star reviews and called him a racist and everything else. And it's killing him and his business, and he's gotten death threats. I don't know how much we going to audio, so I don't.
Well, we can. I don't want to take Cairo 7. We got it already. Dory talk to this Dean guy. So the thing is, the guy in the restaurant that apparently confronted this other guy that videotaped saying you didn't pay for your drinks. Someone looked at his face and said, oh, I can find that guy, and it's this guy, and it is not Dean Worthy, but they were wrong on this one.
I don't even think you look that much like the white guy in the video at the Edmonds restaurant.
Well, you know what? I appreciate that tremendously. I really do. And I am a heavyset bald guy, and that guy's a heavyset bald guy, and it's kind of it's not a real good close-up picture of that guy. But, yeah, that's really kind of you to say.
So at that point, they got the wrong guy. But it doesn't matter because in the Twitter world where no one needs to think, all you need to do is react.
You know, when you look at these videos, sometimes if you just get a quick glance at it, it's easy for to stick that picture in your mind, and then you start thinking, well, God, maybe that is him. And that's what happened. Yeah. Because this guy, Carlos Dillard, who made the accusation, he was hit up by some people on TikTok, and they said, oh, yeah, that's him. So then somebody else went onto my Yelp page and pulled a picture off my Yelp page of me and inserted it into the video. And that's where they, that was supposed to be making it valid.
Right.
Whoa. that was a real, real problem.
So then at that point, the guy has death threats. They bomb his business with one stars and horrible reviews and call him a racist.
17 pages worth, John. 17 pages.
Yes. And he realizes, oh, my God, this is killing my business. So then he goes on and he has to try to take the entire thing down.
It really makes me wonder how much the internet, you know, it makes me look at like the internet is a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
It's been a blessing because all the work it's brought me from my business. But at the same time, you know, it's like one person says one thing and then it explodes. And the next thing you know, somebody drives by your house and sprays you with bullets.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? Is that where we...
Wait. His house didn't get sprayed with bullets.
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, okay. That's,
he's projecting.
Okay. Yes, I get it.
Is that what we've come to in our society where we don't question anything? If it's on the internet, it must be gospel, right? That's the biggest issue here.
This guy's taking it pretty well considering what has happened to him. I'm about turning the other cheek.
My Yelp page is being monitored right now. It says that they are in review of my entire page. I spent hours and hours individually flagging and reporting each one of those false reviews that was on Yelp, sending them all in, and then now my Yelp page is being they're basically dismantling it and hopefully putting it back together without all the nasty stuff.
Okay.
And when the guy who took the video was informed that they got the wrong guy, he accepted that, and he is now on the original. He's taking the original video down and replacing it with a new video, asking, you know, any of his followers to, you know, stop harassing. We've got the wrong guy. So they're trying to make amends. But the problem is, yeah, until they get Yelp to actually take down all those 17 pages worth, that may not be enough for this guy, at least momentarily. So he's talking about maybe having to, like, you know, shut down his business and reopen under a new title. So, I mean, the impact on him, you know, could be tremendous. We'll have to see if it's easily resolved, but. It's a classic social media
It's like Spike
situation.
Lee sent out the wrong address for George Zimmerman. He
really,
found
yeah.
Zimmerman, and then he put out the address. Here's where Zimmerman lives, everybody. And all of his followers were then able to go over to those houses with two old people that lived over there. And they're like, what are you talking about? And they sued him for like $16,000. The judge threw it out of court. I guess they didn't have any real damages that they could point to. I don't think their house got firebombed or anything like that. But for them, it was the harassment that goes with it. So here's the interesting twist to this story. So we have three characters. We've got the unidentified man in the restaurant. We have the man with the video camera. His name is Dillard. And then we have the guy misidentified, and he has now got a bunch of stuff that sounds like he is fixing the problems. Right, Tom?
Yes. Yes. That, so far, we'll see how successful he is, but it seems to be that things are under, you know, sort of in the midst of operation to restore his reputation.
Well, since the internet has all the answers, Mr. Dillard's real last name is Gum. He is from Detroit. He says that he was abandoned at the age of 15, and he worked for three jobs while homeless to survive throughout high school and college.
Where are you getting this information?
I'm getting this from the internet, Tom, where everything is true.
Okay, so we just...
His adopted mother denies these claims, and is worth noting that Carlos Dillard's original name is Carlos Gum. You can find a bunch of postings from him because he has a tendency to find racism wherever he goes. He claims that he was, while delivering, working for DoorDash, he claims that some woman cut him off and then flipped him off and called him the N-word, and then he tracked her down. The 27-year-old man and then takes video of it, puts it up, and you watch him basically torture this woman. He refers to her as Karen over and over again, and she has a meltdown right there. He's done it numerous times.
Now, okay, but let's just be careful. So by torture, no, he didn't physically touch her, right? We're talking about torturing her by filming her, and she's embarrassed and doesn't want him to be filming her.
Yeah, have you? Did you see it?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah,
it's, we have audio of it as well. Yeah.
Karen, are you okay? Can you?
By the way, when he pulled up, he said, "I'm going to get a video of your license plate so everyone can see who you are." So he videotapes that. She's standing there. She's got a mask on. She's got gloves on. She lives in Capitol Hill. She's now laying down or covering in front of her license plate to stop him from putting anything out there about her.
Explain to me calmly.
No. You're attacking me right now.
I'm not attacking you. Ma'am, you flicked me off.
No evidence of that.
Guys, this is her license plate number. She lives here. This is her address.
No, this is not true. No.
Karen, you flipped me off.
What is he hoping happens? By guys, this is her license plate. This is where she lives. What is he hoping for? Justice?
Off.
No,
you cut me off and flipped me off, and now you're playing the victim.
Yeah, he has a whole bunch of these postings. This is what he basically does. I don't know if it's for a living.
I'm about to just invest in a GoPro, and I'm about to just start wearing a GoPro around. Mm-hmm. Because if you guys would just, if you would have saw what she did, if you would have saw how close I came to crashing into her car, because yeah. She purposely brake checked me, and then the smile and the words that came out of her mouth and her flicking me off.
Okay, none of this. He hasn't had any video of this, but apparently while she's in the car and her window's up, the words and the smile and the flipping off, and yeah.
And then to follow
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Like, I need a GoPro. Who got an extra GoPro out there that I'm not using?
Yeah, that's right. Anybody got one? Can you send me one?
What a lot of people aren't getting is if I would have hit that car, one, I'm dealing with financial problems that we don't need to be dealing with right now in a pandemic, two pandemics.
Yeah.
And two, what's the likelihood of officers being called? Because if she reacted like that, imagine me hitting her car.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if she reacted like that for me being like, hey, ma'am, you flipped me off, called, imagine me hitting her car. The hysterics she would perform. And then cops come. Who would get shot?
Mm-hmm. This guy, from my analysis of the internet, because the internet is always true, he is a professional slip and fall guy. So you claim racism. And then you put it up on a post, and then everybody follows you, and then you become sort of this victim hero guy, and he's looking for justice. He's also the guy that was blowing bubbles in front of the police officers. He knows what goes viral, and he knows this goes viral. I don't know how many times. He must have struck gold with this woman. If you watch this video, this poor woman is absolutely out of her mind. Jacob, did you watch it?
Yeah, at least, most of it.
Yeah, he's almost like a sadist. He just continues to taunt her. Yeah.
Are you okay?
But what happened?
Can you explain to me calmly?
No, because you're attacking me right now.
I'm not attacking you. Ma'am, you flicked me off.
You're ready to take it.
Guys, this is her license plate number. She lives here.
We just heard this.
I know.
Karen, you flipped me off.
No,
you cut me off and flipped me off, and now you're playing the victim. Ma'am, would you like to calm down?
No.
So this is the, I guess when you put something up on the internet, this is her driver's license, this is her license, this is where she lives. What's he hoping to achieve by that, Tom? What do you think?
I think that it's a threat to her, because what he's responding to is she is covering up her face. And so he feels like, he's not getting the look at her. And so he then, it is a very uncomfortable, unflattering move on his part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes me really uncomfortable. Now, I think we're getting a little off the topic. Do we have audio from the guy in the Edmonds restaurant? Because I'd like to know what he says. Is it clear in the video that what he says is something untoward? Or is it just this individual's interpretation of what preceded the conversation? That would be helpful to know. In this particular case, there's no evidence that what he says is true. She does at one point admit to something, like, yes, she did flip him off, and or she did cut him off, but she didn't mean to make it dangerous. There's a witness who says, yes, he thought it happened, what she did. It still, to me, doesn't justify what he's doing to her in response.
Uh-huh.
But it would be nice to know if the reason that video went viral was because of what the guy in the Edmonds restaurant really said, or if it's because he's contextualizing something that on the face of it isn't necessarily outrageous, in which case it would look like maybe he's just setting what could be innocent activities in sort of an outrageous context.
Yeah. Well, he, Mr. Dillard, talks about how the Asian woman, when he went to pick up his good food, well, he asked, he was delivering it. She asked for his ID and then also called him a racial slur. Another person also asking ID also referred to him as the N-word. He seems to find it everywhere he goes. It's amazing. He even says on one of his videos that he posts, he goes, I don't know what it is about me, but I just, these horrible racists seem to find me everywhere. Yeah. So this is really an interesting turn for him, because now it becomes a story about, because everybody's got their own thing, Tom. But this is much bigger now, because now this is what this guy does. I don't know how many followers he has on Instagram, but now as people begin to look at your intent to destroy this woman or get this woman. Now, there's no evidence of her cutting you off, flipping you off, using, calling you the N-word. It's all you, your words. That's the same MO that he uses on the guy in the restaurant. Also,
is it? Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
Well,
where's that video of the guy in the restaurant?
For the Asian woman calling the N-word, the other person did, this guy at the restaurant, this woman driving her car flipped him off as well. She even yells out at one point, "I'm married to a black man." Right? "I'm married to a black man," or "I have a black husband." She's screaming as she's covering her face.
To Tom's question real quick, I did see what I believe is the original TikTok video. It is a pretty similar instance where, like with this other woman that we've just listened to, you kind of actually start it after the confrontation has already started. You don't get to see whatever exchange was between the man at the restaurant. Also, at this point, he's not been identified. I imagine he probably won't want to be after what's happened to Dean Worthy. But that's
convenient, isn't it? So you start it. So the video starts after the offense. The same with this lady, right?
Right, and that's why he suggests I should wear a GoPro, because, yes, he doesn't turn it on until presumably after the guy has done whatever he's complaining about.
That's a good clarification, and it might be that this guy's MO is to create false evidence.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's an accusation, we can't prove it, but it's, yes.
But you can, right.
But, even so, let's go back to that.
But apparently his
woman,
accusations don't need proof either. But you can, guy's business gets destroyed. Find the guy's Instagram and just have him, everybody get a chance to see that apparently it's like a magnet. It keeps happening to him. And then you can follow him, and then he can maybe make some more money as people continue to watch him. The slip and fall guy looking for a slippery spot to fall.
Okay, but the thing is, what's interesting about this particular case is that Carlos Dillard guy, or whatever his name is, he has now said, "Oh, sorry, we've outed the wrong guy." He wasn't the guy who outed the person. It was two other people that said, yes, this was the guy. Mm-hmm. But I think it raises an interesting issue for anybody who posts. Well, no, he posted it
first.
Go get
them. Go get this lady. Find out who she is. Guys, find out who she is. Here's her driver's license.
We're talking about the guy in the restaurant.
Yeah.
The thing is, he was identified, and when the guy discovered that he was misidentified, he is either taken down the video or said this is not the right guy, and he's reposting that. So it sounds like he's trying to make amends. But here's my question, and I think this is relevant to anybody who posts anything. Do you have any responsibility for this being taken to what extreme measures? Like, let's say you actually videotape somebody being horrible, and then something horrible happened to that person who was being horrible. Because you posted it, are you in any way responsible? We're always talking about the mistakes. Well, even if this woman had done what he claims, that's like a minor, tiny, tiny little, thing that happens on the roads a lot. Does it deserve this kind of, hellscape? No.
Sure it does. Sure it does. And by the way, Tom, in the end of his interview on Cairo 7, he says, it's too bad for him, but I still haven't gotten justice. Right. All right. Tracy Taylor, good traffic. Sorry, going long. Yeah. Q Mortgage 1-888-778 KIEL. How's that, Sean?
That's pretty good. I've heard you do better.
It's Q Mortgage. That's okay. You need that.
Hear your spot finally, John.
Which one, Tom?
The one where you try to sing.
Oh, yeah. Sean helped me with that one. He kept going, it's
Kiel Mortgage.
And I go, Kiel Mortgage. Nope. Let's try it again. It's not easy trying to replace that guy, just like trying to replace Alex Trebek. I have to tell you something. I haven't seen any of these people. I saw cuts of, I know LeVar Burton is in the hot seat. Is it this week? The story is that he went backstage after doing the first show, and he said to his wife, "Well, what'd you think?" And she's like, because you can't help but think, okay, I gotta be like Alex. So you're sort of doing Alex-isms, but then you're trying to also be yourself, but you're trying to fit into this role that he has created. And whenever anybody, 37 years, as Alex Trebek did the show, there's sort of a, would people expect something to behave a particular way? They expect you to answer. He has created that thing to the point that no one else could step in there and do it like Alex. So then you decide, well, I'm going to do it like myself. But then the audience is like, well, that's not, well, what are you doing making jokes?
This isn't
Alex
Jeopardy.
Never made jokes, right?
Right.
So LeVar Burton has a chance this week.
LeVar Burton.
If you don't know LeVar Burton, he was in, was he Roots?
Yeah, Roots is where he first burst into the scene.
Right, and then Reading is Fundamental, and then he's done some other stuff as well.
Reading Rainbow,
and,
Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, Star Trek. He's got a couple of roles under his belt.
Yeah,
and he's a big Jeopardy fan, loves Jeopardy. So he's got a good career, but I would say of everybody there, he's the one that seems... How many other people is...
I think there's 17 total that are...
Oh, my competing. God. Okay, never mind.
Hey, Johnny. As a longtime viewer of the show, I am thrilled to have the opportunity to guest host Jeopardy. And I'm proud to be here to honor Alex's legacy. And I'm going to do my best to ensure that these talented Jeopardy contestants enjoy their moment here as well. Welcome, Matt, Patrick, and Kathleen. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's play Jeopardy.
Okay, so far, so good.
Yeah, that's
so far, right off the teleprompter.
Tonight's episode hasn't aired here yet.
Yes, hang on there, every word. So what is he, I think there's one person in his sort of fan club that's pushing thousands of social tweets and everything to get LeVar Burton the job, right?
He is the one candidate. So there's resentment among a lot of candidates because they feel like, oh, that's not fair. Everybody knows who Aaron Rodgers is. He's a celebrity. He's got a leg up, all these kinds of things. Well, the knock against LeVar Burton, he's 64 years old and has had this perfect, career. So he's a big fan. So he's a perfect representative. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people resent the fact that a social media campaign was what got him this chance. That there were so many people. He'd always said in interviews that he'd love to host Jeopardy, and so there was like his fan club or something started this social media movement to such a degree that the Jeopardy people had to say, you know what, we're going to add three more people and LeVar Burton is going to be one of those three more people. So there is some kind of resentment. You shouldn't campaign for it like he did, like it's a political campaign. But I think ultimately they're going to make decisions, as they say, based on data, based on sense of style. I think he has as good a chance as any. Right now, I'm bucking for the local guy. Ken Jennings is the guy who's won the most, episodes ever. And he's this local guy who lives, kind of in my neighborhood, I guess, Rachel tells me. But he's really a contestant. He's not a flashy celebrity type. He's very kind of nerdy, which sort of fits the Jeopardy persona. But there are other people. They have newscasters. I've watched occasionally. Anderson Cooper is so smooth just because he's a natural broadcaster. And so there's a resentment. Should you take an actor? Miriam Bialik was on and she was making jokes and they said, yeah, she was good, but is that really what we want with Jeopardy? Everybody has a different style and expectation. Do you want somebody, an earnest kind of nerdy guy like Katie Jennings?
How about Katie Couric?
Katie Couric, yes. See, Katie Couric is like Anderson Cooper. They're both very smooth broadcasters. And so, yes, they come off.
Dr. Oz.
Yeah, I think of the 17, he'd be number zero or at the bottom.
Aaron Rodgers, George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah.
Stephanopoulos
again.
Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah. People that are used to being on TV come off smooth, but then I think there's something truer to the Ken Jennings being a fan and knowing, the game inside and out and not being Mr. Slick, I think. Works best. By the way, the ratings were best for Ken Jennings, but they said it's a little unfair. He had the first 6 weeks, and it was right after Alex Trebek, and everybody was tuning in. And so now there hasn't been a huge drop. It's been about a 10% drop-off in audience, which is still makes it the strongest staying power of any syndicated television show around.
Savannah Guthrie's up for it as well. My God, everybody's trying out for this thing.
Where are you, John? You used to be on Hollywood Squares.
I auditioned for one game show called He Lied, and it was they caught the husband in a lie, and then the people that were involved in the catching him would come on, and then the audience would yell, "He lied," and then he would have to give something up to his wife in order to not get divorced. It was the most horrible
show. Povich?
Oh, but it's worse than that, because they would humiliate the guy right in front of everybody, and he would tell some sort of story, and then everyone's like, you lied, and then the music would play. I said, I don't want to be a part of this. To do this to this other human being? Yeah, well, he lied to his wife. He wasn't in Vegas, and then they'd have all the people that he said he was with. They all would come on and out him, and then he would have to give something up in order to make his wife happy. He's like, okay, I'll give you, you know, whatever, that, you know, the ring you've always wanted. She's like, not good enough. It's like, what's my role in this? What am I
who
doing?
Who would ever be a contestant? Hey, we need 16 liars to come up to the stage.
Right. You'd have to book all of those people and shoot it all and then put it all in the can. The thing's going to have one season and that would be it, right? Because it's like that old show where To Catch a Predator. After a while, people would walk in and go, yeah, I'm here for some sweet tea. Oh, hey, I know you. You're the guy that catches the pedophiles. Yeah.
Oh, so I take it the option wasn't picked up for that.
No. I just remember thinking to myself, I'm so desperate for a new job, because King 5 is like, oh, go ahead, go find a new job. Good luck. And I thought, oh, I got to find one. And I thought, do I really want to be involved in something so horrible as this? $250,000.
A one-shot deal?
That's to shoot 12 episodes of it or something like that.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, well. Well, tune in tonight if you want to.
LeVar Burton. Yeah. But you do have your favorite. You like Ken Jennings, huh?
I'm rooting for the local guy. Yeah.
Local guy. That's where you do it. Okay, Tracy Terror, we're rooting for you. What do you got? Waiter, what's this fly doing in my soup?
The backstroke.
Waiter, there's a fly in my soup. Next punchline, you know what the next one is?
No charge for extra protein.
Yeah, that, or don't worry, he won't eat much. waiter, there's a lizard in my salad.
Ew.
Oh. The waiter goes, what? There's no punchline on that. She, is her salad? It's under lizard salad. Sorry, Jacob, didn't see that. Didi's son. That's the unfortunate story.
Shocking, horrible, terrifying, disgusting.
Maniza Karishi says she gets salads at this Evergreens all the time.
This is like my favorite lunch spot.
On Wednesday, she says she picked up her food and went to work.
You know, I'm like working, eating, and then all of a sudden I'm like picking up my fork and I'm like, whoa, like that is not, you know, part of a lettuce. And that's when I saw like arms and like the little guts sticking out, and I just kind of jumped out of my desk. Caught my coworkers. We're all freaking out.
I confirmed with Washington State University's zoology department the lizard is a western fence lizard, commonly called a blue-bellied lizard.
That's just when I was just like, you know, gagging, like puking, and I just like could not believe that there was a lizard in my salad. It's like there wasn't, you know, a tail, and so I think that was just what I was worried about, is did I actually eat that, or maybe that was in other people's salads.
Maniza filed a complaint with King County Public Health and Evergreens. I spoke with the company's CEO today, who said they immediately contacted their supplier to figure out what went wrong.
The quality of the product that we serve and safety is paramount, which is why we have this system in place. And that's why this extremely uncommon alleged incident is so frustrating to us and obviously the consumer.
Evergreens says their supplier is now reviewing every step from farm to delivery. Meanwhile, Maniza says she's speaking out because she believes employees serving her should have noticed this.
A big blue lizard is not something that can be overlooked.
Okay. First of all, let me ask you this. If you found something in your food, would you call the news? Would you call Cairo 7? Would you call somebody?
No.
But no, I wouldn't either.
Know that? I mean, she reported it to the place where she got it. I assume did she call Cairo News? Maybe.
No. I mean, who's going to call? The Department of Health? No. The guy that owns the restaurant? Does he want the publicity? No. So we assume there's one person there that ate part of the lizard. It's got to be her. You eat it. You eat there all the time. You like the place. You like the restaurant. Yeah. And now you are bombing them on this thing. You think this is going to help them or hurt them? And she's doing it because she wants the people that work there to be better about looking for lizards. If something like this happened, it's just a strange world we live in. If something like this happened to me, I wouldn't think of calling the news. Jacob's a millennial. Would you call if you found something in your food? At what point would you think I should call and put this on the news?
Well, for the sake of the show, John, I think any of us that find anything.
Well, only yes. All right. Well, okay.
That'd be great.
I'm constantly putting rats in my food here. Okay. No, nobody at Cairo will do a story on it. No. Yes, but because we're in this weird world of, oh, here's a story about something I found on my food. I'm just saying, just if you were not involved in radio.
I would almost certainly post it to social media. Perhaps that's how this happened.
Yeah, there Why? You go.
Well,
Why?
Because
Why?
I at least might think it's a funny story to share with my friends, not under the assumption that it would be picked up by the news media.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that's perfect. That's probably how it happened.
For humor's sake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah,
shocked,
but she
too.
Doesn't sound like somebody that's like found the joke or the laughter in the whole thing. She
well,
was
no,
disgusted
she was horrified.
And repulsed. Yes, horrified.
John, just like
not
you,
humor. Not humor.
No,
horrified.
But people post for different reasons. And so if you're horrified by something, I mean, the deal is, what's funny about the fact that we're talking about the story and you're challenging whether it's even a story.
No, it's a story. My question is, why? Why
do you think it's a story, John? You're just dismissing it, saying I wouldn't have contacted her. But to me, the amazing thing about it was, because I was thinking, this is a minor story. Why are we even talking about it? Then I saw the picture of it, and it's like, oh my God! The experience of seeing that you know half-eaten lizard displayed out in the midst of a salad was so shocking to me. It was so effective that I thought, that's a reason to post it.
Mm-hmm.
And did you notice that in the denial or in the shock and horror alleged. Of the, yes, alleged.
Well, he has to
incident.
Say that. You have to say that, right? You can't admit fault, especially if this woman's going to sue later on for something. And also, there have been situations where people have put thumbs and stuff and done stuff like that. I'm not saying she did this, but it's just, I don't know. It's like, you like the place, you eat there all the time, and now I'm going to ruin the business.
Well, but if you eat at a restaurant, John, and you think it's great, and then one time they poison you and you almost die.
Whoa. She was poisoned and almost died, Your Honor?
No, I'm saying I always used to eat at this one particular place, and then one terrible thing happened to me. That's all she's doing.
Allegedly.
She said she still likes the place. Allegedly. That's true. That right. picture is a great picture, whether she put it there or not. It's a heck of a horrible picture.
Nicaragua, Tom, you eat iguanas during Lenten season because it's not red meat. The soup is really good. It helps your vitality. It makes you more virile.
It's right? the unexpectedness of it. No, yeah. I think people eat things like lizards on TV all the time. It's like the justification for shows. But when it's unexpected,
you better hurry up and put it.
You gag.
All right. Tracy Taylor with traffic.